Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast, number 35.
This is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. I'm John McGowan, your host, and I can be reached at john@indoorcycleinstructor.com. In today's episode, an interview with sport and exercise psychology expert Dr. Haley Perlis is going to join us again. We're going to discuss two things. First, a presentation that I attended last night about exercise and the brain, and specifically its importance for kids in school. And then we're going to talk about the responses I received to a question I'd asked here a little while back. What frustrates you about teaching? That I sent out to the members of my community. And at the end of this, I've got a quick tip on coaching your class through the danger zone. Now joining me from Boulder, Colorado is Dr. Haley Perlis. Haley, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful. And I understand it's warm and sunny there in Boulder.
It's pretty mild in Boulder, but we're getting a good foot of snow up in the mountains, so I'm not complaining.
No, and you're a big skier.
I'm a big skier.
And like Jennifer Sage always says, when it's a powder day, you have no friends because you're off skiing. Is that right?
You definitely have the snow flu here.
The snow flu. Okay.
Yes, yes. On snow days, on powder days, work is optional.
Last night, I don't even know how I heard about this, but our local high school that my two daughters attend sponsored a presentation from a guy named Dr. John Ratey, and it's R-A-T-E-Y. And the title of the presentation was Exercise in the Brain, the Crucial Connection for Kids. And it's tied, I'm guessing he's doing a book promotion. But the book that he's written is called Spark, the Revolutionary New Science of Exercise and the Brain. I have not read the book yet, but after an hour of listening to him chronicle the incredible importance of exercise to, and what his presentation was really geared around was to children, and not just from a health perspective, but from an intellectual perspective, how important it was. Now, do you have anything like that you're doing, Haley, with people or young kids? I know you had said earlier that you do some training with young athletes.
I do a lot of work with young athletes. They're primarily not necessarily in school. They're all in extracurricular activities. So it's not necessarily the school system. It's outside. But my philosophy is that if you get them engaged in something that they like, i.e. sport, they develop a lot of additional life skills.
The presentation as it was designed was, it was incredible. The studies that he was showing as far as high schools and whatnot, where they reintroduced, I guess, physical education, especially on a regular basis, and the vast improvements that they were seeing in behavior, grade scores, those type of things. And I'm going to be posting some information on it. He's on another podcast, and I'm going to post a link to that. But if you're involved in education, or if you got kids in school, or if you're involved in the PTA or something, I would highly recommend looking into this and reading this, because it was very, very cool stuff. Now, Haley, the real reason that I brought you on was to discuss a question that I had sent out to my community of indoor cycling instructors about what frustrates them about teaching. And the intent was, you know, to try to get some understanding of content, you know, what are they looking for? And I got a lot of interesting responses. I don't even know where to begin. And so as I was, I tend to be kind of sequential, so I needed to find a way to try to make sense of all this. And I started putting them in different categories. And it very quickly became clear to me that, you know, when you look at teaching, there are what I would say three components. There is the foundational component, the profile, the heart rate zones, those type of things. Then there's the presentation component. How do you present it? You're interacting with your students, those type of things. And then there's what I would call like the music and technology side, you know, videos and the music that you're using in your class. And I sent you a list, Haley, and you know, we've had a chance to talk about it a little bit. But the thought occurred to me is that I didn't get any questions on presentation. Do you have any idea why? You know, is it that people just feel like they're really good at it?
I believe people don't think about their presentation skills. In certifications, although you learn, you know, numerous and endless ways to teach someone how to perform a skill, what may be lacking in some workshops and certifications are leadership and communication skills. So when, you know, I'm reading one question here that you had sent me about your frustrations. One was, you know, I'm not going to do a high-intensity class. We're going to do more of a aerobic developing class, but then everyone looks bored.
Exactly.
And what can I do to help that? Well, that doesn't fall in your necessary foundation or technology areas. That falls right in the presentation component of teaching an indoor cycle class. And when we don't think about it because it's never been brought to our awareness, we automatically fall on something that we do know about, i.e. music. Right?
Exactly, which was the majority of the questions.
How do I find more music, or what's a more efficient way of selecting music, or my music isn't good, how do I make my music list better?
Right, and people that are spending what I would consider an incredible amount of time trying to create what they feel is the perfect playlist, only to only use it once.
and there's a couple of things to remember here. I'm a big fan of music. I personally spend a lot of time selecting my music, but that's something that I enjoy. I don't look at it as a nuisance or an extra, you know, chore in my day, an extra responsibility. I enjoy that. But for those people who don't, a couple of things that you have to think about, even though you're in each and every one of your spin classes or cycle classes, your participants are not. So it's not necessary for you to use a song once and then throw it out and select another one. It's okay to use the same playlist more than once. Definitely, and if it's a good song, your participants are going to enjoy it and want to hear it again. So it's not so much finding new playlists for every single class. It's about figuring out, how can I entertain better? How can I communicate? How can I lead the class more efficiently with the music that I have? Because if you have good music, you could play the same songs. I'm not saying every class, but you could play the same songs in a few classes. But if you bring in your presentation skills, the leadership and the communication as a primary component, then that music will just take care of itself, and your class and your participants will leave very happy.
I remember the last time you and I spoke together on this podcast. I don't remember the number of it, unfortunately. What you were saying was, if you want to change behavior, you have to present kind of an alternative. Did I say that correctly?
Exactly. The only way to get rid of one behavior or eliminate one behavior is to replace it with something else.
And so if I'm overly conscious about the music that I'm using and recognize that I'm, you know, stressing incredibly about it, I need to develop some other skill to offset it. Was that realistic?
Yes, absolutely. It's difficult finding music. It is frustrating. You have to search all different kinds of internet. You don't know exactly what types of songs your participants will like. And if this is frustrating you, put it aside and replace it with something else for now. Now, I'm not saying that music is not important, because I believe it is. But I do believe that if you find balance, and I know you like that word, balance, and we spoke about it, and we both thought that there should be a balance between your three components, foundation, presentation, and technology. If you can bring in the presentation aspect of your class, then you will find balance, and then you'll see that a class doesn't solely rely on music. It relies on both your ability to teach a good class, as in bringing in the proper foundation. It relies on your technology, so the music, but it also relies on the fact is you need to be able to go in there and lead a class and communicate to them, find a way to communicate what they need to work on, how they need to go through the class, and then you'll see that with that balance, the music will not be that important anymore.
Yes, I was, you know, because I got almost 80 responses, and if you were one of those that responded, I tried my best to respond to everybody because I really appreciated your feedback. But if for some chance I missed you, or please forgive me, I'm doing the best I can. what got me thinking was, as I'm a big proponent of taking other people's classes, so I'm constantly running, you know, we've got a bunch of different clubs within our same club family around me, and so I'm taking different classes all the time. And it struck me that some of the best classes I've ever taken had what I would say had no structure and horrible music. And yet, based on the presentation skills of the instructor, they're phenomenal classes. I remember one class in specific I took, a guy who fills his class every class. He showed up, he sat on the bike, he picked up a CD and he said, "I have no idea what's on this, but that's what we're going to use today." I thought, what a risk. And yet the class was phenomenal. You know, and I'm a guy, and when somebody presents a problem to me, I want to fix it. But as I read through all these responses, and the majority of them were focused on music, it kind of came like we're talking about. Is it really music, or is it that's something you can control so that maybe there's a better alternative, and that is developing the other sides of it? I know we had Angie Studervan on from Cyclops, and you know, talking about power-based training on their Cyclops bike that gives wattage readings. And she was saying that their classes she teaches without any music, because everybody is so absolutely focused on, you know, watching their wattage, watching their cadence, that they don't have time to listen to music. It's very interesting.
They're being kept very busy.
Exactly. And that's what I was getting at as far as saying, okay, well, if we want to change behavior, we need to replace it with something. So how would, and I'm putting you on the spot here, how would I go about evaluating myself as to what I'm strong in, what I'm not strong in?
What you're strong in and what you're not strong in. Well, the best way is to, and I wouldn't actually say it's self-aware, it's self-evaluation. I would ask a participant in your class who has been there enough times and has been, you know, a participant of your class enough times that they know your strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe, but, you know, in the bigger picture, it really matters what your participants think of you, because they're the ones that are going to be coming back or leaving forever. So I would actually ask a person who you trust and who's been around long enough to know your teaching style, and ask them what they feel is your biggest asset and what may be your weakest link.
Interesting.
Because you can self-evaluate all you want, but we have a tendency to want to protect our ego, if you will.
Oh, yes.
We may not answer our questions as truthfully as somebody else would. Now, that's difficult because you're going to want to ask someone who's also not going to want to protect you. You know, you're going to want to find someone who can answer your questions honestly and truthfully. But ask them, you know, what's your favorite part about my class? What keeps you coming back to this particular class that I teach? And then, you know, what do you think could be better? Where could I improve? Not pointing it out, well, you know, where do I suck lately?
Right.
What's my weakest link? You put it in a positive note. So where can I improve? It's funny, at the universities where I teach, we always do self-evaluations. The school hands out, I guess, course and instructor evaluations. But my biggest pet peeve is that they do this on the last day of class, right before final exams. And I actually, well, number one, the class is over, and I'm never going to be able to go and teach these students again in this environment. But number two, I won't actually see them until 6 months down the road. So what I do is halfway through the semester, I hand out my own evaluations. It's anonymous, and maybe an instructor can do that, hand out evaluations, and they can be, you know, your participants can fill in that anonymously and hand them back to you. And then I can learn from the actual people who are being instructed and being led, and the participants I communicate to, what they feel are my biggest assets and where I can improve. And then participants are going to, majority of them will love this. They will take the 30 seconds or the 2 minutes max it would take to fill out this and hand it back to you, because then they'll know, A, that you care, and they'll know that you're going to improve, and that's going to make their experience a whole lot better.
That's a phenomenal idea. I really like that, because so often we're just stuck with the comment card that we get. John's music was too loud. He told me not to talk in class. You know?
Yeah, and those comment cards are very, sometimes it's not even directed at a specific instructor. Sometimes it's just the entire spinning program as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you want specific feedback, I mean, I did not come prepared. I apologize with specific questions, but that would not be something difficult for me to put together. And sometimes it helps if it's on a Likert scale, if you will. So it's ranging from 1 to 7, 1 being, you know, I don't ever receive constructive criticism, or I always receive constructive criticism. So 7 would be that. Or sometimes it's a short answer, open-ended question. I would implement, or I would include a variety of questions. So some would be multiple choice, some would be open-ended, some would be on a Likert scale, because certain participants will respond to those two types of questions differently.
Is that something you could put together in a one-page PDF that we could provide to everybody?
Very easily. I have one already created for coaches. I would just simply modify it for spinning instructors.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well then you can find that, and this podcast will be posting around the 1st of March, and the blog post for this podcast will I'll upload it, and you'll be able to download it from there, and hopefully that'll be of value to you. That's great, Haley. Thank you. I love that idea.
Yeah, it really helps. I mean, it's okay, but it's not the best way of creating awareness when you do it yourself. You need to ask the person who's taking your classes. You need to get an objective opinion, because we are all very subjective and we want to protect our egos.
Exactly, and we're self-delusional, I guess, if that's the term.
And you know what, when it comes back to all your frustrations and everyone really commenting on the music, I think that's another reason. We don't want to tear ourselves apart. We don't want to look inside. We always want to look for external things that we can do, external reasons why our classes may not be up to par. And music is something that is still within our control, yet it's not, well, self-deprecating.
Yes, exactly. It's something you can point your finger at. Well, just my music sucked today. It's not that I was distracted or unprepared or, you know, and obviously there's the whole other side of it, is that if you were to take one of my classes, I'm all about the structure of the class. I know exactly what I'm doing through any given point in the class. And it's frustrating to me when I take a class that seems to be just haphazard. But I can be a little dry and a little coarse, I think. You and I talked before about your purple elephant. Is that right?
Yeah, and that was a mistake I had. It's actually your purple cow.
Your purple cow, okay.
It's a book written by Seth Godin. He's actually one of the keynote speakers at the conference in San Francisco in March at IRSA.
Okay.
And it's the purple cow, yes. It's highlighting your best characteristics, or your greatest strengths. It's highlighting those. And we talked about that. So, you know, you have structure. So, yes, highlight that. Make sure that you bring structure to each and every one of your classes, because you will become known for that. So highlight your purple cow. But that's not to say that you can't develop your weaker links, so that you do bring balance, because then you're going to be the entire picture who happens just to be amazing at structure.
Exactly. Yeah, and I remember you admonished me, because I was feeling a little under it, and you said, well, go out there and do what you do best. And I was the hard-ass road biker, and I did it, and people like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. You want to flaunt those positive attributes, but you also want to acknowledge the fact that you have weaker sides, or, you know, there are areas where you can improve. We'll twist it into a positive. There are areas where you can improve, and you need to focus on those too.
And I guess if, you know, I'm reading through one of these where they're saying that, you know, I have great music, this kind of the comment they're making. Well, then if you already have great music, it's going to take a lot of effort to make it even greater. Does that make sense? It may be easier to spend a little time raising your structure or your presentation skills and raise the entire level of your class.
Yes, and truth be told, developing those presentation skills, well, where are you going to go to learn how to present? Where are you going to learn how to lead and communicate? That's not easily accessible right now, and that's one of my goals in the fitness industry, is through my presentations at all the fitness conferences. I'm actually, well, spinning. I'll be at WSSC in Miami. I'm going to be teaching how to improve your leadership and communication skills by using psychological skills training.
Oh, so cool. Well, we didn't even talk about that beforehand. Give us a quick overview of that before I have to let you go.
Just like I said, I'll be in Miami, and I believe it's the last weekend of May, and I'm going to be presenting on, you know, peak performance for indoor cycle instructors, So how to find your motivation, your confidence, and your focus, and then how you can transfer those three psychological strengths to your participants. We'll talk about using imagery in a class. We'll talk about using goal setting in a class. We'll talk about building confidence in your participants. And that's what I'm talking about when we discuss presentation skills. It's not, everybody does not have to be an entertainer. That's more of a, well, I believe you can develop entertainment skills, but I also believe that you either have it or you don't. I mean, some people can just get up and be entertaining. When we talk about presentation, that's not what I'm getting at. It's just learning to lead and communicate in a more effective manner.
And I recognize that presentation is different. My wife, Amy, is incredibly good at connecting with people one-to-one. Mm-hmm. And she'll do it through her entire class. And they just love her for that.
In the last podcast you and I did together, I was referring to an instructor who pretty much mentored me when I was 16. I started taking his classes in Toronto. This is at a huge, I mean, it was just cycling and aerobics. It was called Body Alive, and it was just it was a cult. And this one instructor, Lori Peterzoli. Oh, it was. It was. People would, there would be 80, 90 people not in a cycle class, but in the aerobics room, and you'd show up a half an hour and get in line. It was an amazing atmosphere. But this gentleman, Rory Peterzoli, is an entertainer, true and true. Now, he's definitely strong, and he plays great music, but his strongest attribute was an entertainer. And although he mentored me, I didn't have that. It wasn't within me. So I took what I could, but then I learned how to present in other manners that are just as effective. So you learn it, and then you take what you can from it.
Excellent. And hopefully we have helped a few people as we move forward here in the process to get just a little better at what I'm starting to call the three components of your class: foundation, presentation, and then the media technology side. Well, Dr. Haley Perlis, I want to thank you for participating in another podcast. People can find you at www.drhaleyperlis, and it's HaleyPerlus.com, and tell them how they get your mental toughness emails.
I send out one email a month on each topic, and you may be an indoor cycle instructor, but you also may be an athlete, a coach, an exercise and fitness enthusiast yourself. So I send out one monthly mental toughness article for each of those disciplines. So you go to the website, Perlus, P for Papa, E-R-L-U-S for Sam.com. And right then and there, you'll see two columns, sport or fitness. Click on one or both. And then at the very bottom, you can just provide me your email and your name and what articles you wish to receive each month. And then each month, at the end of it, I usually send it out at the very last day, so the 30th or 31st, you will receive an article on your chosen field. And it's all about different types of psychological skills training, whether it's motivation, confidence, concentration, arousal regulation, certain tips that you can implement into your classes, or if you're a trainer with your individual clientele. You don't get an email from me every day, so I won't be bombarding your inbox. Just one a month or five a month if you choose to receive all the articles. And I actually, if I could take this time just to thank you, John, because when we spoke and you divided your class into those three components, foundation, technology, and presentation, I like seeing it very structured. And to me, this is more tangible now that you can divide it into three components, and it will make it easier for your listeners to figure out, where they can improve in each discipline. So I think I want to give you the high five on the pat on the back for taking the time to do that.
Well, again, it was, like I say, I had 80 I was trying to sort through, and I had to put them in some order. So, and I think it'll help me going forward here to just kind of categorize things. So good. Well, Haley, again, it was fun. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay, now here's the quick tip I promised about coaching your class through the danger zone. Now, obviously, you may or are aware of heart rate training zones. Well, the danger zone is a little different, and it is the point where your class loses focus. Typically, if you're doing a series of intervals, you understand that recovery is important between each one. As your class's heart rate falls down to that conversational, Sally Edwards would call zone two, they start losing focus. All those creative ideas are running around in their brains, and they feel like expressing them. And all of a sudden, you get all these little conversations going on in your class. And you may feel like you've lost control. Here's my suggestion. And as Dr. Haley Perlis was just saying, is that you need to change behavior by doing something different. At the end of your interval, or, and this also fits if you're just doing a long endurance ride, talk to your class about the importance of focus. You know, endurance has, what I tell my class, four different components: muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance, mental endurance, staying focused. Oh yeah, and the fourth one, saddle endurance, but that's a whole other issue. As you talk to your class, remind them that as they're starting to recover down, the tendency is to lose focus. It's at that moment, that critical moment, that they need to bring themselves inward. Are they relaxed? Shoulders, elbows, wrists. How's their pedaling? Are they staying nice and smooth? Is their body staying relatively solid, indicating nice, consistent rounds pedal circles? And as you talk them down, obviously, hopefully you can still breathe, you help them stay focused so that you can easily transition into the next interval without a lot of disruption in your class, with not feeling that you've lost control. Hopefully that's helpful. And if you have a question or comment or an idea, I'd love to hear it. John at indoorcycleinstructor.com. Until next time.